Okay, good evening, everybody. Evening. Martin and Margaret send their apologies. It's Matthias's 13th birthday, and he loves basketball, so he's taking him to see the Harlem Globetrotters in Newcastle. So where's his commitment? That's what I want to know. Okay, so we might not be as long as last week, just covering our vision and values about coming into commitment in Amazing Grace. We'll run through some information and then give you the opportunity to have a chat in your groups again. Tom, can you do that slide for me, please? Oh. Is that all right? Okay. Sorry. Okay, so just to recap on a couple of little things from last week. Just the final bit of the Smith Wigglesworth prophecy to go from the United Kingdom into mainland Europe. And I'll just... you can knock that off. Oh, yeah, leave it on, sorry. I don't know, you sit down. Somebody mentioned as they were coming in that we didn't actually sort of explain last week actually how the church came into being. And I thought, yeah, I'll just quickly do that. I was travelling with Martin when he was an itinerant preacher. I've probably worked with Martin for about 20 years. And in 2005, when he went itinerant, I used to travel everywhere with him. And we were always in church and always absolutely fully believed in church and serving churches in the different things we were doing, preaching the gospel mainly and doing other sorts of meetings like that. But the thought of having our own church was something that we just laughed, you know. People would say to us, if ever you start your own church, we'll be really interested. And we'd go, okay, it's sort of, no chance. But we'd been to Russia one time, and all the ministry trips we used to do abroad in different places, we used to pay for our own flights and everything, which is interesting for my bank account, because Martin was living by faith. First time we went to Estonia, it wasn't very expensive then. It was quite cheap to fly to Estonia. And I paid for the flights, and which wasn't very much at all. And Martin said, don't worry, I'll get the money back off the pastor there and it'll be fine. And then one day he said to me, he said, I've told Alary not to bother giving us the money for the flights. And I'm like, thanks. And then I went and got, and this was in the days before the Euros in Estonia, and it was krones. And I went and got £40 worth of krones out of the hole in the wall. And we went shopping, and I said to Martin, look, you know, you can, we'll share the money. We can, you know, we can buy some presents for the kids and stuff. He's got nine, so that wasn't very smart of me. So I assumed, right, that somebody with nine kids would go into a shop and buy nine pens or nine cups or nine little key rings or something. Is that logical? No, not Martin. He knew what he treats them like people, you know, and buys them all individual specific presents. We spent the £40, and then as I was doing my calculations, this is a bit scary considering I'm the head trustee anyway. So I did a little calculation and realised, because we thought it was really good value for money, we bought loads of stuff, and then I thought, I haven't spent £40, I've spent 200. So I said to man, I've spent £200. And in my mind, I can see us both going back around the shops with the receipts, getting the money back. And he laughed his head off and said, what's Marion going to say? He had absolutely no intention. Why do I tell you all that? Yeah, well, we went to Russia one time and with Chris as well. And the three of us went to Russia. And we came back and we had all sorts of ideas on things we'd like to do in Russia. God had spoken to us both individually about going to Russia. And we were planning a second trip, and it just dawned on us, it was becoming quite expensive, and it just dawned on us, like, we need a base. If we're going to travel and do ministry in other churches and abroad, where is our base? We need a base. And lots of people have been saying to us, you know, how many people in your church you run? We don't run a church, we're members of a church, but we don't run one. And that became increasingly sort of a thought for us that often crossed our minds. And then one time, Ian and Martin were travelling somewhere, and in the way back on the car, they started talking about, if we had a church, what would we want it to be like? And then we started talking about it a little bit more and got all sorts of ideas and started getting faith for it and praying about it and felt God leading us into it. And then we sort of prayed to God, are we going to do this? And it's a big question, isn't it? Because for me it was like, because Martin had said, look, if we're going to do this, we've got to give our lives to it, give our lives to the people and give it absolutely 100%. You can't do this sort of 99.5%. It's got to be everything. So it was quite a serious moment for us, and we prayed about it. And then we started having all sorts of discussions. We spent a year preparing, and during that year, it was mainly meeting together and praying. And then, obviously, as the leaders of the church, it's all right to have a sort of theological opinion about something if you're a member of the church, but if you're the leader of the church, leaders of the church, you need to be clear, you need to be in agreement, you need to understand what it is. So we had all sorts of discussions and things like, little things like, I would say, I wouldn't like it if the worship leader wore shorts and flip-flops, for example. And Ian laughed because he spent half his life in shorts and flip-flops. And Martin said, I don't think that really matters. And I was like, yeah, you're right. So we had all of those sorts of things to discuss and talk about. And Martin said the most important thing that we could give to this church, the leaders, would be ourselves as sorted out as we could possibly be. Which took me about 2 weeks, I think. No, I'm only kidding. So we spent a lot of time praying, going on heart healing courses, being honest with each other about our own weaknesses and faults and things that we need to change and shift and talk about to make sure that we were as right as we possibly could be in God to lead the church. So that was how the church came about. And we started in, I think it was September the 4th, 2011 was when we launched. And so that's the history, the background of it. If you've got any more questions on that, we can give them to your small group leaders and I'll address those next week. I just want to talk to you a little bit about Estonia and because of the prophecy going into mainland Europe, why Estonia? When we were first going to go, Martin said, we're going to Estonia. And I was like, great, where's Estonia? And he said, I don't know. And everybody asks, where's Estonia? And we went, I think it was Martin's eldest daughter was working down in Derby in a Christian cafe. And one of Alary and Katrin's daughters, Maria, was working down there. They had a conversation. Martin was doing some teaching on I think it was a year group that Maria was part of. And then Maria realized that Ruth was Martin's daughter. And they got chatting, and Maria said, my dad's a pastor. And Ruth said, well, my dad's an evangelist. And on the back of that, Maria spoke to Alary, and Alary invited us over, and we went. And that was an interesting, I remember that so vividly, November 2005 when we first went. Lots of funny things, like Martin had never had porridge with salt before, and Katrin pushed the salt across the table and said, do you want some salt, Martin? And he didn't realise that you're just supposed to sprinkle a little bit on, and he put a few scoops in, and then stirred it all around, and then spat out the first mouthful. That was good. So this the history of Estonia is, it goes back a long way, and it's trusting God, isn't it? We only do what God wants us to do. We listen to God and do what he says. And I said last week, we don't have any disunity with any of the other churches around here. We love the pastors and churches around here. We're friends with them. We sometimes have them to speak. But we're not partnering with the other churches just because it seems like a good idea. What we're doing is hearing God for ourselves and just doing that as best we can. And Estonia is a significant part of that. So, Alary, do you want to come and share a little bit, give us a little bit of a flavour of Estonia? And if you could speak in Estonian, I'll translate for you, brother. Is that all right? No chance. I've come to the conclusion that, this sounds like an insult, but it's not. I've come to the conclusion that the people who invented the Estonian language must have been very, very drunk. It's impossible to speak. But anyway.
What I was going to say, I don't remember now. I totally lost it. About how it all started. Stuart a little bit mentioned about it. Like 2005, first trip was there when they came to Estonia. And I remember, like, one thing that captured me really was like this, how Martin was speaking about the gospel, like the simplicity of the gospel, like gospel leading not over paint or tuned by cultural means, but just going straight. And because we had always, especially this era, it was the era of kind of seeker-friendly gospel, like, let's be nice and let's be friends and let's say it out nicely. But he brought something special with him, which was like, let's just preach about Jesus Christ. Let's just do it with authority. Let's just call people for salvation and things like that. It actually started to work. We see, it actually works. We thought we had to be very nice, super nice, and then somehow bribe Christian people to the kingdom of God. But then we saw that was the better way. So it all started as many, many trips over to Estonia. By the way, does everybody know where Estonia is now? Yeah. Like, do you have a picture in your mind? There is a Finland, Sweden, and then over the Finland, 80 kilometers over this little part of the Baltic Seas, Baltic countries, Estonia. And when Martin and the team first came, it had been free from Soviet Union 15 years. Before officially free. Before that, it was part of Soviet Union. If you looked at the map, it was just a huge, big, one same thing, like painted one same color. Whatever they were, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Belarus, Ukraine, and all the more eastern states, they've all same color, called Soviet Union, all that. And we are part of that monster. It's very cleverly oppressed all the people. And by the idolatry, never mind, something like that. Communism, yeah, that's the best. And I don't know if you felt the oppression when you came yet. People were quite straight-faced, and, like, probably when you first came, it was like, everybody, hello, yeah, very good. How is life? Normal. That was the, and all the culture was a little bit like straightforward, no nonsense kind of. My best sentence was, "We go now." I know some English, but I didn't. I thought that all the nice things around it was no needing. So, and preparation, I didn't believe in that. Also, I believed in the instant spirit inspiration. And when we had to go to school or meetings, when the time was ready, then I said to the team, "We go now." And so everybody who was there said that they learned to be with me like that, one leg already ready. So when Alali says, "I go now," "We go now," then we go, and all sorts, all these kind of things. But and then when Amazing Grace was formed, our sons was first here, and then it came to these big conferences in Estonia, which was actually quite extravagant in that sense that everybody came. I mean, it was 70 people more, 70 people plus in the summer of 2014. So when it all happened, that people asked, "How big is your team?" We said 70 people. What? Nobody had done, or very, very few things like that had happened. It was like touching people's hearts, that everybody who came from here had put their hearts to it, like pouring out. So it was the expression of what Stu said earlier, that we wanted to put 100% of it. So if this conference, Route 61 conference, came over to Estonia, it felt really like, oh, it was really 100%, maybe more than 100%, because the cost of it all, if you summarize together, was quite high. So it felt like, yeah, these guys actually are putting 100% into it. Many people, if the words don't work sometimes, like people don't kind of quite catch your word or don't understand what you mean, then actions actually speak, and that was the kind of thing. So two of these big conferences have happened now, 2014 and 2016 in Pärnu, where we come from. It's a nice coastal beach town, and then in Tallinn, which is the capital. And like so to say, whole church came. It was like the invitation for everybody. And now from this year, the strategy has changed a bit. If the whole church came, it felt like, coming to a battle in one sense, but it was like going all together and going to a, like going to Raspberry Topping, for example, or let's go all together for Raspberry Topping and have a go. But now it feels like the work is more precise and a little bit higher peaks needs to be taken. And it's like, there's a specific group going specific time and serving specific churches. So the kind of strategy for the if I can use this word, exporting from here, the Route 61 to Estonia has changed a bit. It's been how many? 1, 2, 3, 4 trips already this year to Estonia. And it's going to be more trips yet to come. And it's again great. And we believe that because many churches invite now Amazing Grace to run the Route 61 for their churches. So it's like doors are opening, boom, boom, boom. And we work with specific churches. And God gave us also specific words to each church, like encouraging us and helping us to work in these places. So, and we pray that it will continue. And these big things might come back again, or strategy can change again. So I think one specific thing about Amazing Grace is that it's not like a big train that you go on and then just goes all the same all the time, but it's like more like a cruise ship, if you like. It can change the course if needs to be, and if weather changes, the ship also takes a turn. And so I think it takes a little something to be part of that, because this big ship is a big ship, but it still takes turns sometimes, and you have to be ready. Okay, turn, hold on, vroom. But I think it's a beauty of it also, because then we can hit exactly the specific needs of the thing. So it's been in Estonia, like doing these specific weekends. Some people maybe ask, "Oh, why am not I invited or something like this?" But if you go to Raspberry Topping, everybody goes. If you go to Mount Everest, it's not everybody, because it's specific and it's equipment and tools is needed and so on. I can use this image maybe for these kind of things. But be ready, because the strategy or the thing can change again. And again, everybody said, now is big revival, let's go everybody. Now it's meeting of 1,000 people. So just let's be ready for this. It's a big, big adventure. And if your part or somebody's part is just to pray or be there, it's as important, because I think the prayer for Estonia and for these things is as important as going there and doing the stuff. Somewhere it says in the Bible that the people who stayed back and prayed and like were part of the war but stayed at home and secured the camp were paid the same wages as the ones that went front. So let's keep praying. And do you want to say something? Katrin, let's say one thing.
Actually, I wanted Alari to say it. But actually, it was maybe more years ago, before we met Martin and Stuart in Estonia. We were back in England here in the conference, Salt and Light Ministries conference. It was our first trip, I think, to England. I didn't understand any word in English. And there was the prophet, Ben Franklin, and he just pointed to us in the end of this big conference and said that I have a word for you. And it was quite interesting. And now I can see this prophecy is going to like fulfilled. Alari can tell about that.
Yeah, basically, Bryn Franklin said that the foundation needed to be broad and strong because what God was going to do was enormous. And he used several times these words, God is going to do enormous thing. And it was back in 1993, so it's quite a few years back. And sometimes we wondered, oh, when is this all going to happen? But over the recent 2 years, we have seen different signs because this prophecy was quite specific and had different things in it. We have seen that the things that he said in his prophecy started to happen to us. Just one little story. When we came here first 2 years ago, we went to this, on the way here, we went to this Faldi Brenin prayer retreat center. And this prophecy said to us that you have been through the bushes of thorns, but God's going to heal that. That when we went to this place, God did actually physically hit his forehead with this piece of whatever they grow there, thorn, yeah? And it went all like boom. And it was, she had this avatar face for a while. And then we started to think about this prophecy. Well, God's going to heal these wounds from the thorns. And now it even physically happened. So, yeah, it's probably the time and God's going to do something. And it was just when we came here and joined the Route 61 and things. So we saw, yeah, time is now. God's going to work in a new way with us. And it's been actually true. Thank you. Sorry.
No, that's all right. Thank you. Yeah, just to give you an example of the conference in 2014, the church was quite a bit smaller then, and we said, who would like to go? And basically anybody that wanted to go who was a member of the church could go. So 70 of us went and, you know, run kids' work and children's work and everything out there. It was fantastic. And so our connection with Estonia was 6 years before we started the church. And one of the things that God said to Martin about the Alikas family was, he said, I want you to invest in this family. And so that began basically with Chris and Carl, who are sons of Alari and Katrin. Yay! And, you know, so we've, you know, been connected for quite a long time. So that's the kind of history of it. And when we go out there, when we've done conferences and when we've done weekends, we do two things at the same time. We do the Route 61 stuff during the day, and we preach the gospel on the night. Okay, because our, you know, our big thrust, if you like, is heart healing and the gospel. So, you know, we, you know, like Martin explained last week, not one thing or the other, we're both. So when we're out there, we see people's lives totally transformed that are Christians, and we see people get saved and come to faith in Christ. Did Terry get saved through Martin? Yeah, so Carl's wife, Terrier, was saved when we were over there one time preaching. So we get wives for people. How good's that? And so that's the background of the Estonians. And Chris is one of our elders. So we have Estonians on the eldership, and then on our ministry team. Can you put that back up for me, Tom? Or can you do it from there on your phone? How cool is that? So Chris is on our eldership, and then on our ministry team we have Carl and Alari and Larry Pesur. Larry is, I can never say this, is it Pesur? Larry Pesur, is that good enough? Larry, who's married to Martin and Margaret's daughter Rebecca, and they're on our ministry team as well. So we put Martin said stick the wives on as well. That was my mistake from last week. So you can see the Estonians in there. And then obviously on our extended team, we have Ricky Beadnell, who's English, and his wife Sika, who's Estonian. And then obviously we have loads of Estonians in our band as well, which is exciting. Obviously. Did I say obviously? Yeah, so they're everywhere. So we've had Estonians. So I think Chris lived in our house for 2 years. Carl and Terry lived in our house, and Larry's lived in our house as well. We didn't invite them, they just lived there. Okay, so that's the Estonian connection, and I hope that gives you a bit of a background on it, you know, because often people say, why Estonia? Why Estonians? And it's just, well, God is the answer, but that just gives you the history of it. Okay, in terms of our outreach to the poor people, obviously, as a relatively new church, you know, we're gradually moving into the things that God tells us to. Martin's eldest daughter, Ruth, and her husband, Andrew, live in the Philippines. Andrew is from Yorkshire, and his mum and dad were missionaries in the Philippines for 15 years. Andrew went to school out there, not in a missionary school. He went to Tagalog and Ilocano, the languages over there. So he's fluent in those languages, speaks and writes in those languages. So he was brought up over there. And then they've always wanted to go back, and they live out there. They've been out there probably about 4 or 5 years, I think, possibly a little bit longer. And so they live out there with their 4 children. And we support them financially, the church. We basically pay for the rental of their building. So the properties that they use as a church, we pay for that. So that's our support into the Philippines. And often we do other things like when Andrew's taken teams of people out there to support people in sort of when they've had disasters and earthquakes and things, you know, and they need to do some relief work, we sometimes support that as well. And then obviously through Compassion, like last week, we've started to partner with Compassion in relation to Kenya. So there's the things that we're doing. And in the Bible it says, you know, scatter abroad your gifts to the poor. So that's biblical that we do that, and it's important that we do that. Okay. Okay, I just want to cover a few little things about our personal growth as individuals and opportunity for service. So we're interested in people's personal growth in the church and their opportunities to serve and minister wherever they can. And Martin always describes this to me as... No, we're a fruit tree, not a Christmas tree. So, you know, you can look good, but what's the substance of it really? And we want to create fruit that lasts. We want to see people saved and added to the church and stay in the kingdom of God. You know, obviously if people move on to other churches, that's absolutely fine. But we want to see people saved and added to this church and stay part of the church. We're preparing people for revival. We really believe that revival is coming. And preparation for revival is by changing people's lives. So we, one of the distinctives that we certainly wanted for our church, we're always aiming for this. So I'm not claiming of these things that we absolutely have it. We always wanted the preaching to be good. It's all very well saying, if we start a church, we want the preaching to be awesome. And then till it actually, that burden falls literally on your plate. And but we really believe in that. We really believe in a powerful preaching of the Word of God, the Spirit and the Word together, but it's a preaching that can be applied to your life and used in your life. We really believe in that. Can I have the vision wheel up? Okay, so all the elders have this tattooed on the back. Only kidding. Okay, so this was a vision wheel, something else that was given to Martin. So if we look at the sort of quadrant at the top, the cross there, what we believe in is preaching the gospel, running Alpha courses and seeing people saved. We've done tons of Alpha courses over the years before we started the church. Never been involved in Alpha course where people didn't get saved. What we want is we want Alphas, you know, sort of an English thing, isn't it? And, you know, it works in this country. Sometimes often people say, has Alpha run its course and is it over? But people always get saved on Alpha, and our heart and desire is to run bigger and bigger Alpha courses. And then preaching the gospel and outreach and all those sorts of things. Moving on round to the right, Route 61, which is, you won't see in any other church, the Route 61 is ours. It was a download that God gave to Martin. You know, he was at a conference and he saw all these men of God and thought, these guys have all got things that are distinctively theirs. I'd really like something. And he lifted his hand up in the meeting, if I remember the story properly, and he felt God put a scroll into his hand, and with his eyes closed, he opened the scroll, Route 61. And God gave him the download for the whole of the Route 61 in about 10 minutes, which is based on Isaiah 61. Let me just read it to you quickly from Luke chapter 4, where Jesus, unrolling the scroll, finds the place where it is written from Isaiah, where it says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And this is Jesus' manifesto. And we believe in this for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to preach the gospel, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, you know, deliverance, recovery of sight for the blind, physical healing, release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, grace. So these six distinctives in roots in Isaiah 61, and we do 2 weeks on each of those things throughout the Route 61 course, which is 6 months. So there's two elements to becoming a member of this church. One is doing this membership course, and the second one is doing Route 61. Okay? So sort of understanding fully where we're at. Route 61 is important for you. If you haven't, I know some of you have done Route 61 and some of you haven't, and I just encourage you, if you haven't done Route 61, to sign up for it. We want people to do Route 61 before they would have the opportunity to minister. Okay, so Route 61 is a sort of prerequisite for that, if you like. And then after Route 61, moving around, we have, because we want people to grow. I've done, I think, about 9 Route 61s or something, plus the conferences and stuff. And even when you're speaking on Route 61, it's amazing how God, well, you're probably not amazed, but God just keeps revealing stuff to you, doesn't he? And giving you downloads of stuff and information and touching things in your life where you think, ah, I never thought of that. And some of the resistance to that sort of course is some people think, well, if you dig deep enough, you're bound to find something. That's not what we're doing. What we're doing is we're opening ourselves up to God and allowing him to speak into our lives individually. That's what we're not digging around for things in the past. We're allowing God to speak to us. So that's Route 61. After Route 61, we have A61, which is going deeper with God. To come onto A61, you have to do Route. And, you know, after Route, we're encouraging people to serve in the church, and we'll be covering some of that next week. Route 61, where we have day courses. We've done, because we're a newish church, we've been developing things as we go. We've had different ways of doing things. And A61 are now full day courses on a Saturday, running from 10 till 3. And we occasionally do those throughout the year. We cover things like, you know, being filled with the Holy Spirit and discovering your gifts in the Holy Spirit, finding out what areas you're weak in spiritually and where to develop those. We're going to cover things like the Bible, spend a day on the Bible, things like worship, marriage, parenting, those types of things, where people could come on a one-day course and go deeper on those things. And an M61 is the traveling stuff, which is the going. The M61 is going out, you know, like Estonia and other places where we travel around and do things. And I'm sure that'll become more and more. I know Andy and Martin are off to Spain in June. And Martin's traveled to Spain quite a lot with Bob Keir. And they're going out there and see what God says to them over there. So that's the going side of it. So the Route 61, just to the Route 61's the, this is the Route 61 leaflet. We've just got it as little booklets for now. I'm sure it'll become like a proper book at some time. That's the, just so you know what Route 61 looks like. And you get that tattooed on your leg when you've done it. And then the Prayer Mountain stuff as well. So Prayer Mountain is another one of our courses, another download that God gave to Martin when he was praying for us to become a praying church, to understand prayer and to move in prayer. And these are all things, the serving, ministry, A61, M61, Prayer Mountain stuff is after Route. That's the way into those things. So obviously we're committed to people growing and being nurtured and helped and supported and believed in and loved and encouraged and built up and challenged and stretched and all those types of things which God is doing to all of us all the time. But obviously it's not just like anybody can come on that. You know, you have to do Route 61 to get into those things of the church. Okay, let me just see what else I've covered. Okay, in terms of serving, you know, ultimately we're serving God, aren't we? We're serving God and serving the elders of the church and those of us that are elders serving Martin as the senior leader of the church. And, you know, some people have said, you know, I'm serving God, but I'm not serving you. It doesn't work like that in church. And if you read through the Bible, you see that that's not the case either. So it's important that we understand serving. And the best way to serve is wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. doing it for God. All the things he's done for us. You've probably heard me say, if you've been to church often enough, if God did nothing else for us other than just dying on the cross for our sin, I mean, that's enough, isn't it? That's enough to compel us to serve him. Not to to pay him back. It's the unpayable debt, the Bible says. You can't pay him back for it. It's as much of a big thank you and gratitude to him for what he's done, which is more than just words, but it's about action as well and serving him in that. And my experience is that if people who serve God wholeheartedly do better in life than those that don't. And, you know, you can go through all sorts of struggles and things in your life, but to serve God and understand serving him is good for you. It's good for your soul. It's not just to make the church work. It's good for you. It works. It does something to you. Changes you, doesn't it? You know what I'm talking about. You do something for God and you see him in it. You know that you can't do it in your own strength and you know that he adds something to it, however small and insignificant it might be. We had a prophecy in the elders' meeting the other day about standing in the gap, you know, the building of the wall, Nehemiah building the wall, and people standing in the gap. And sometimes the standing in the gap, you know, one minute you stood behind the wall and you're safe, the next minute you're standing in the gap and doing stuff. And part of this prophecy was to do, standing in the gap is sometimes doing those things which aren't your main ministry. So you might have things that you're called to do off God, but then there's other things to do as well. An example of that, I'll just give you. A friend of ours was in a different church, and he spoke to me one day. He was a bit disgruntled, and he said, "The pastor of my church has asked me to be on the welcome team." I said, "Oh, right, okay." He said, "To stand on the door and welcome people into church." I said, "You don't sound very happy about it." He said, "Well, no, I'm not. I'm called to preach." I said, "Okay. Do you preach every week?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, on those weeks when you're not preaching, just welcome people on the door." And, you know, we need to be willing to do things that are beyond our comfort zone. We're not going to force people to do things they don't want to do, by the way. Okay? The opportunities to serve are very much if you want, but obviously we'll encourage you to do it. Okay. Have I missed anything, Andy? Tom? Chris? Missed anything? No? Covered everything? Pretty much. Okay, if you go into the same groups as last time, I did have all the groups written out on my fantastic notes, but Martin threw them away last week. So, and I was like, "You've thrown my notes away. Have you any idea how long that took me?" Oh, sorry, yeah, not next week. It's the week after next. So next week's Easter Sunday, so it'll be the next week, the 23rd, not next week. Okay. And like I said, if you've got any questions, just let your small group leaders know and they'll let me know and stuff, so you've got plenty of time to sort of think about. We'll go into our groups. You can have the questions up for week two. There you go. So if you've got the same groups as last week, and the group that were with Franco last week will be with Chris over there. Sorry? Keith's group. Andy's going to do Keith's group. Where was Keith's group? There, Andy, you're over here. Okay. All right, thank you very much.